Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I want to stand because I'm at Costas. Hey, what's going on? See, I'm at Dundalk, man. I run into all the Beavers people are here. Everybody's here. I all pop in my system here. But much love to the Beavers family of Dundalk. We're at Costas. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And Beano's got me all discombobulated because I don't even have my scratch-off tickets ready to go here. But I do have some. Roz is going to give me some fresh Back to the Future scratch-offs. But I have a handful of the Magic 8-Ball. And we are at Costas. Today is Mr. Costas' birthday, and we're honoring him. I have all of these beautiful tributes. I'm staring at him. Don't make me cry. If you make me, you can make me cry just because you made me cry when you were little. I got a very special guest out here today, and it's been a long time coming to have you on. When you were Mr. Biggie Pants at the Terps and all that, you would come out and do my charity events and whatnot. But I've known this young. It's great that you're shorter than me because you're not really shorter than me in real life. Yeah. You're slouching. I met Beano. What year was it, Beano? I'm talking to you like I'm your coach now.
88, 89.
I met Beano in a gym in Rosedale. We were at the Golden Ring Junior High. How old were you when I met you?
I was like 13.
You weren't 13.
14.
No, you 12, were younger than that.
12, like 11, 12.
11,
yeah,
11,
12. 12, something like that. Yeah, 11, I mean, 12. 11,
so
12.
We had a house league of basketball, and I don't know where Michael Fountain is. Michael Fountain was one of my best friends at the time. And we had a party house up on Kane Street, Kenny, and we used to party up there with the girls. The Beavers, the young lady just left here, her sisters were always at my house. So we had some refreshments at the house, you know, girls were there, whatnot, and I was 21 at the time, 1989, and Mike Fountain said to me, hey, man, we're going to coach, this is a pretty good Fountain, too, hey, man, we're going to coach a team, man, we're going to coach a basketball team, I need some help, you can be my assistant coach, and I'm like, Fountain, I got a job at the paper, I'm chasing rock stars, I'm doing high school sports. When's this league? Saturday morning. Dude, I don't get up till Saturday afternoon. What do you mean Saturday morning?
By the way, I thought you was the head coach, but go ahead.
Fountain was the head coach. Oh, I was the assistant. I was just the assistant. Believe me. And it was at 8 o'clock in the morning, every Saturday morning. And the first week we went over to pick up kids. So there's 30, 40 kids in the league, and we got to pick teams. And there's like six teams in the league or whatever it was. And we watched them all shoot. So now we're all like scouts. You know what it's like to be a scout? A little bit? Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah. So Beano spent his whole life scouting, and I had to scout that day. And we got the first pick in the draft. So we had the first pick, and then you didn't pick again until like the 12th pick, right? Because there were six teams
Facts.
In the league, right? You went up and back. We took Beano with the first pick in the draft because this kid was ambidextrous. He was amphibious. He could go left to right, to right to left. No conscience at all. I mean, if you thought George Gervin shot the ball a lot, you should have seen 11-year-old Beano Ranson. So we drafted him. He was our star player. And many years later, so that was 1989, probably about 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, you showed up in the living room of my radio station, and you were with, Keith Booth? No, you were with, Towson. You were with
Kirkley.
You were Kirkley.
Kirkley and also Kevin Norris, who actually, he coached at University of Maryland this year, and he actually went up to Villanova with
so he
Coach
was
Miller.
In my radio station
yes.
that day too.
Yes.
All right, so this
yes.
is 21, 22 years ago.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Something like that. It was
Kirk was running the center down at in what became the Carmelo Anthony Center. He
yes.
was running that down, the Under Armour Center. Yep. So Beano was the only kid I ever coached in my life, and you became a coach. You have made me cry over that over these years when I've watched you. I have a story about you, dude, that you don't even know. But you how many years did you coach at Maryland with Turgeon?
11.
You did been 11 years.
I did 10, one with Gary Williams.
So Gary brought you in.
Gary brought me in. He hired me from Xavier. And then Turgeon retained me when he came from Texas A&M.
All right, so you did 11 years with the Terps. I don't think I ever had you on the show during that period of time. I would call you. You came out and did celebrity things for my wife. We did things for LLS. I remember seeing you at Roos Chris one night with some people and all of that. But here's my Beano coaching story where you, like, got me. You got me, right? Because I don't really know you as a man other than on TV, and we've known each other all these lives. You know, our lives have unfolded the way we have. And I'm so proud of you. Like, I can't begin to tell you how proud of you I am. So, Luke and I are covering the Combine in Indianapolis. This was the year you had Suleiman. You guys were really good.
Suleiman.
What year was this? 16, 17, somewhere in there?
Something like that. We went to the Sweet 16 that year. Okay. Suleiman, Romello Trimble. Rasheed Suleiman, Diamond Stone.
Diamond Stone was on that team, correct, yeah.
Robert Carter, Rashad Pack, I think, was on that team. We were loaded. Jake Lehman.
Another NBAer.
So we were loaded that year.
On that, in that season, you played a big game at Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
You played at Mackey. And we just happened to be freezing our asses off out in Indianapolis on that trip. And we looked at the schedules, like Maryland at Purdue was the weekend. It was a Saturday of the Combine. We went in a little early, made a little thing. And on that Saturday, we got in the car, we drove up to Purdue, and we went to Mackey. And what a biblical – I mean, what a religion – that's like a Lambeau Field kind of place to see a game, right?
It is.
So I went in there, and that place is on fire with the Boilermakers, and they're yelling, "You suck," to Indiana, and Indiana ain't even there.
Yeah.
So we went in for that game, and I got there super early. I was still a media member then. Luke was too. And we had press passes, and we got there super early. And we went into the John Mackey room and the John Mackey Center and the John Mackey VIP area and the John Mackey Lounge. And Dickie V was in there, baby. Yeah. Dickie V was there that day. They were like in the top 10, and you might have been like 17, and they were like maybe 5 or 6 or 7. There was two top 20 ranked teams about to get at it at Mackey. And for whatever reason, the media lounge is right by your locker room there. Mm-hmm. It's like a down – because it's such an old circle building, you know. It's not like a new building. And I saw you in the faces of all of your players. You circled them up, and I was 10 feet away. And, yeah, you all looked spiffy. You looked like an official. You looked like you've been coaching 11 years in Big Ten basketball. And, man, you gathered those guys, and you got them – What do you call that? Do you remember what you did that day? What is that? It's like a circle, and it was like you were the leader. And, dude, you were 11 years old again for me, man. You made me – I came back to my seat. Luke's like, "Are you all right?" I'm like, I just had a moment. Beano just lost his mind in front of Diamond Stone.
Yeah, well, what I would do is, before every game, before they took the court, I like to round the guys up and just give them one last word of encouragement, to motivate them, to have them to go out there and just leave it all on the court. So as a coach, you know, 32, if you plan 34 games, you got 34 different messages that you're going to give them. So that's something I've always done, and that's what you witnessed.
Well, I witnessed it. I did witness it. Beano Ranson is here. I've known him since he was a boy. He hates that. He's taller than me but wanted to sit down. I think there's some old school thing, but I want to stand up. How are you, and what are you – now, I saw you opening day. I was with Brian Coetz, and we took a picture together, and I said, "Are you still at LaSalle, right?" No, where was it? Where were you?
I was at DePaul.
DePaul, that's what it was. You were in Chicago, Illinois. Okay.
Yeah.
So when did you leave DePaul? I get DePaul, Xavier, LaSalle. I get them all mixed up. Go ahead.
Spring 23.
Okay.
Spring of 23.
The state of college athletics now, I don't understand. Okay, so I had Len Elmore on this week. I had Walt Williams on last week. I had Pat Scarry sit and do the show with me a couple days after they got eliminated in their tournament, very unfortunately.
Yeah,
he did that Friday with me. That was really the tournament Friday because they lost that game on Monday. And, you know, I'm Coppin State sponsored, so I have Stu on, I have Coach Woods on as well on the ladies' side. I don't understand this, and you come from the old world in a big way, being a player, being a guy that was, you know, knowing players, and over at Mount St. Joe, your kids playing. Explain this to me like you're the teacher and I'm the student. Let's change roles here, Bino.
Well, it's just a new landscape in terms of college athletics, and now kids are able to earn money off their name, image, and likeness, and there's a lot of money being thrown around to these kids, and rightfully so. I believe kids should be paid to play, and that's what's going on. And you know, you have revenue sharing from the from television that's going to come into play. That you have like something called a collective, where you have like the boosters or people that's friends of the program. They pitch in to a big collective to offset the number in terms of what players may ask for.
I mean, predictive of this 15 years ago when Gary hires you, Turgeon comes in, and what it was then versus now. And you say, I believe the kids should be paid. The time it always freaked me out was the first Thursday of March Madness, where every bar is packed in America. They're playing all day long. Everybody's got their brackets. Everybody's gambling, doing whatever they're doing. And everybody's making money. The broadcasters, the coach, everybody's making money except the kids dribbling. I always found that to be wrong. I've always said it's wrong. I've been on the air 34 years. I think I figured out right around the point where you were in college 25, 30 years ago, this was kind of a screwy system. The more that Gary Williams made, the kids weren't making any. And I watched it all change during my career. But I didn't know it was going to turn out like this, and I didn't know what it was going to do to my interest level in it. And I don't know why that is, because it's pretty basic that people that are generating revenue in this country should be getting compensated for that, right?
Yes,
and, I mean, back in your era, what year did you graduate? You went up to New Hampshire. Somebody asked me when you went away. Cowitz said, where did he play ball? I said, he played up in New Hampshire. My wife's in New Hampshire right now, but you played at my wife's alma mater.
Southern New Hampshire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and what years were those?
I left there in 99.
99. Yeah. All right. So this will give you an example of how screwed up college sports were. And I don't need to tell you, because you went off to school and you recruited and brought kids in. I've been Coppin State sponsor for a long time. We're one of their flagships. But back in the late 90s, when Fang's team won, the 98 team, when Larry, you know, all those guys, he was gone by then. He was in the NBA at that point. But when they won, I had them out to my studio. So you were same age as all those kids. So this is 1998 in May, and I brought 15 kids into my little studio over. We were at the Sheraton in Towson. Before I owned the station, this was Michael Hody's station. And Mama Alardo's was our pizza sponsor at the time, and they brought pizzas in. And we had pizza for all the kids. And there's no internet. It's 1998. My partner took pictures of me, of all of us in the studio, because I'm proud. I got the whole Coppin team in the studio. We're making a big deal. Nasty Nestor, all that. This is 27 years ago. And Fang sees the pictures. And before, on the way out, all the kids are leaving. Fang grabs me. He says, hey, man, you can't have them pictures with the pizza in it, man. Because if the kids get caught eating pizza, that's free pizza, man. That's against the rules. And that's not a good Fang. That's a fair Fang.
Yeah.
Fang got to get a little bit lower for Fang.
Yeah.
But, I'm like, I'm 30 years old at the time. I'm like, I just fed these starving Coppin kids some pizza.
Yeah.
And I broke rules, you know?
Facts.
I mean, like, literally,
that's
how crazy the old system was.
Yeah, the old system, people was getting pinged for the littlest things. I mean, the littlest things. Like, you know, you look at Coach Wade, I mean, he got pinged. They say he was taking somebody to class.
Right, right. He was driving the kid to class, right.
You know, or his assistants, whatever. But, you know, if you look at it, you know, when you sit in someone's living room, the thing that you talk about is that their kid is going to graduate. You're going to make sure they graduate. So taking a kid to class, you're not giving them money, but you're taking them to class to get educated. And you would think that that's something that would be permissible.
But that's not the same thing you're selling anymore, Bino, right?
No.
I mean, when you go into kids now, it's how much money, it's a professional gig. What are you selling now? Your kid's a good player, right?
Yeah.
What is that opportunity going to look like for your son at Mount St. Joe?
Well, obviously, you know, my son loves the game. So he's going to look at, number one, an opportunity to get on the floor and play. You know, because that's why you play the game, so that you can play. Now, with this new landscape, you know, after you talk about the plan, the opportunity that you're going to have, that's one conversation. Now, the other conversation becomes, what's your NIL look like? Do you guys have NIL?
Well, this is where the landscape changes for a layman. I mean, that's all I am. I mean, I think I'm an expert about certain things with sports. This NIL world, I am every day trying to understand the portal, the opportunity, what the old world looked like, what the new world looks like. And then to your point, like, how much money? But where's this money coming from? Boosters. Steve Bisciotti once said he would buy Maryland if he could have bought Maryland. Now I think boosters can buy lots of things. But the Willard thing specifically, in him going to Villanova, as has been explained to me, is, well, Maryland's got to fund more sports. Villanova didn't have to worry about a football team. They're going to be able to put more money into a bat. So now you're going to have schools that are become specialty schools. And I don't know how that gets portrayed for the highest paid state employee, in Willard's case, right? The highest paid man in the state leaves because the opportunity in Maryland's not good enough from a basketball standpoint to do the things that you need to do to pay players. And then there's the whole portal part of every single year, everything that you did that day at Mackey to inspire those young people. It's a whole different level of like why they're there and what they're doing. Because to say, I'm going to get you an education, you're selling a different car right now, right?
Yeah.
For sure,
yeah,
right?
A different car is definitely being sold. And the money that's being tossed around, I mean, it's pretty good. And when you talk about getting an education, you were going to school to get an education so that when you finish school, you can, you know,
but that's
you're
not
done
the
playing
lead
ball.
Story if the no. State pays me more than university does,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, but so what I'm saying is, you know, it used to be like you go to school, you play ball. If you go to the NBA, yeah. If not, you got your education to fall back on. You could get a job paying, you know, a nice piece of change right out of college. But now, you know, you tell a freshman could make north of $200,000 a year.
And to your point,
so
if it's
now,
your boy and he gets on the floor and plays the way you want him to play, the way, and he plays at a level that's too good for Towson State or too good for the next place, or even too good for Maryland if Villanova has more money, right? I mean, so it's not even just mid-major to, hey, I can step up my game and play at a different level of college basketball. The money will come and the recruiter will come. There'll
yeah.
be a Bino there to be there to be a part of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's it's just wild right now. I'll just say that it's wild and it changes every day. It's like the stock market. It changes every day, especially in terms of recruiting. Today, you could be worth $150,000. Tomorrow, you might be worth $275,000. It's just that simple.
Holding out for the bigger, better deal. This is basically an open negotiation period right now with the portal, right? We got hundreds of kids in the portal right
thousands
now.
Thousands of kids.
Thousands of kids.
Thousands.
Okay. You're looking for a gig to get back into this industry.
Yep.
If I'm the new athletic director at Maryland, I can conduct this interview with you. What do you bring into this that historically is different? Because I'm wondering, If you don't have a gig at this point, who are the people that have gigs and how the gig has changed from 3 years ago to today, right? Like, yeah, just literally since the plague, right?
Yeah, I just think, you know, some core things still holds value, a lot of value, and that's relationships. That's something that's going to stay around for a long time. You still need relationships and recruiting, and same thing, you know, having somebody that can build, even if you're going to build a team year to year, you still need guys that besides them coaching.
That's it. Keep going, Pino. Yeah, I got crab cakes coming in for Costas. Here
thank
we go.
You.
Good. It's a crab cake door. I mean, for crying out loud, you can't have a crab cake door without crab cakes.
Thank you.
Appreciate Thank you very much. Let's do it.
No, I'm just saying, like, just beside the coaching and the recruiting, if you're going to build a team from year to year, if you come to play for me, I need to be able to establish a great relationship with you, a great relationship. Whereas though,
even if you're only there 6 months.
Yeah, even if you're there 6 months.
Well, that's how you're going to keep them there a year and 6 months, right?
I mean, yeah. So you still, you know, that's, you know, to, you know, you asked the question, what value that I can bring in this new world besides coaching? Because, you know, obviously we all can coach, right? So I think it comes down to being able to maintain relationships with the players, establish relationship with the players, try to get the most out of that player. You know, that's still something.
Do they want something different now than they wanted 5 years ago?
Yeah. Money.
Period.
Period.
So once they have the money and they're on campus, then what makes them happy? Like in Maryland this year, five guys played. The rest of the guys didn't play, right? Like there's going to be a little bit more of that because if you're paying guys, you want, you know, you're going to play them like mules, right? I mean, literally, it is a complete business transaction at that point. I can't imagine how much this changes the relationship that you're talking about, your strength, which is this bond thing that, quite frankly, they're not looking for a husband. They're looking for a date, right? Like, literally. They're not looking to be married to a university.
Yeah, yeah. They're not looking to be.
They're looking for a summer job.
They looking to get paid. And at the end of the day, when the clock strikes 12, you still want to win. So players, you know, the good ones, they're going to want to build relationships. They're going to want to get better as a player. So that's something else that I bring to the table in terms of player development, getting players better because you know that's what you want to do through the course of that six months. Okay, you want to get better every day. You want to be pushed every day.
But if you make them too good, they're going to go play for Tech, right?
Or yeah. You know what? That's the price of doing business. That's the price of doing business. That's what the new landscape is. And so you got to adapt. You got to adapt.
Or you got to pay that kid more money next year.
Or you pay him more money if you want him to stay.
Bino Ranson is here, and so are our crab cakes. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Magic 8-Ball. What jersey number did you wear?
30.
This is number 28. I'm going to have to get you a ticket number 30. I got number 30 right here. I'm going to get Bino number 30 so you can be lucky here. We're at Costas, so we do this each and every week. Next week, we're going to be at Beaumont Thursday. We're going to be at Beaumont. And then the following two Wednesdays, we're going to be at Cooper's Pub North in Timonium. And I'm hoping to have Jessica Long join me out there. Saw her there last week with her hubby and their dog. Also on the 30th, we're going to be at Coco's Pub. So the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Crab cakes for all. Now, you're broiled?
Yeah, broiled.
Why broiled, not fried? Are you, like, healthy?
You try to be, you know.
I thought you had Dundalk roots. You got Dundalk roots,
right?
You came in today with your partner here from Edmondson Village via McDonough. I didn't go to McDonough. I went to Dundalk, all right?
Yeah.
And never Patapsco, and you know that in this neighborhood. You sat here, and you said something to me, like, I got relatives in turn, something like, I'm like, I went to school with Winky.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, same last name as you, and I guess it took me a while to put together. How are you and Ranzelis related?
My father and his mama's sister, so which makes us first cousins.
First cousins. Did you ever play any ball at Turner's or spend
Turner's? I didn't spend too much time in Turner's.
You were Fontana, right?
Sedonia.
Sedonia, yeah. Okay. So you went to St. Francis, correct?
St. Francis, yes.
And then Southern New Hampshire.
Yes.
And then I only knew of you at Xavier. Did you have a gig before Xavier?
I started at Loyola with Patsos. Then I went to Marist with
So Jimmy's the one that gave you his first gig?
Jimmy. Love him.
Well, he would appreciate Costas. It's a good Greek joint here, right?
I mean, Tikanis.
Well, so how did that happen? How did you meet Jimmy Patsos?
Well, you know, Juan Dixon is a close family friend, and you know, Juan played down at Maryland, and you know, I was always a big Terp fan.
That was your era, right?
Yeah.
Is Juan a little older than you?
Younger
than you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know, always go down to the Maryland games. I worked the Maryland Gary Williams camp, and we just built what I talked about before, a relationship.
Right on. Right? I built a relationship with Batsos too.
Yeah, we built a relationship, and so you know, he gave me opportunity to break in the business at Loyola, to help him build a program in Baltimore. And
well, Jimmy, you did good. You're giving this kid a chance.
That's what
I'm saying,
Jimmy,
man.
Patsos.
He just lost his wife. My heart to Jimmy. I saw him recently, and because of contractual obligations with the Monumental Sports Network, he's unavailable to be. Yeah. So I don't have Jimmy on anymore. Yeah. But
Jimmy's the best.
Well, absolutely. I would eat your crab cake.
Okay.
Peter Rancid's here. He's getting me educated. You got more educating for me. You're going to coach me up in the next segment.
Yeah.
I want to bring that Coach Ranson.
Okay.
I played the role of, like, you're the little – because you're always a little boy to me.
Yeah.
And now I know how it is when people are older than me and they treat me that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm 56 years old. Don't treat me like that. Like, I've known you since you were 14. And I'm like, I keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
And I always think of them – once somebody's paternal, it's weird, right? I'm always the weird adult screaming at you, Bino, pass the damn ball.
Yeah.
I said that a lot, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, you said shoot the ball too, so you know.
And he did. He filled it up. You still ambidextrous?
Yeah. I still go right. I can still go left. Yeah.
Are you right-handed?
Righty. Yeah,
you're right-handed.
Yeah. Yep.
You played a lot of left-handed basketball as a kid.
Well, I had a lot of good righties. They love to handle with their left. They love to set you up with the left.
I think the thing that made you even more dangerous as a young boy when I coached you was that I just asked you if you're right-handed or left-handed, and I coached you, and I would have guessed you were left-handed.
Yeah.
Because when I see you, I remember where I coached. You would come toward me with the ball, and you were dribbling left-handed, which made you freaky deaky. Because kids didn't. Nobody handled the ball with their left hand because nobody at 11 was left-handed,
right?
So it made you weird and way harder, I think, for a confused kid to defend.
Yeah.
Not the least when you were athletic, you drove the lane, you were fearless. For turning out to be a coach, and I think you know this, you didn't take well to coaching. You're aware of this, right? Right?
Then
at that point,
maybe I was a little feisty and a little fired up.
Or maybe you just didn't have good coaching.
you guys were good coaches. You guys.
I love this kid. How old are you now? 40?
No, I just turned 50.
You're 50?
Yes.
God, how you were 11 a minute ago.
Yeah, well.
And I was hungover eating McDonald's on the sideline trying to coach you. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to get back into college basketball. It's what your heart is.
It's where my passion is. No, I never done. I'll get back. You know, it's been a great 2 years to be out with my boys, my two boys. I got a kid, Bradshaw, he goes to St. Mark's. BJ goes to Mount St. Joe, and they both doing great. Bradshaw, he's going to go to Gilman next year and play lacrosse. In basketball, and BJ will finish up his senior year.
With the Gales.
Gales.
They wear purple. Look good over there.
They wear purple.
You know what happens with the private schools? I say something nice about – I never say nice about Calvert Hall. Let's start with that. And that really pisses them off. But anytime I say that, then the Loyola people come in, the McDonough people get all mad, the Gilmans, the St. Paul's. I get all of that. Over here, it's curly. It's all – you know.
Yeah.
So – somebody will come in here and they'll give me a hard time. I'm like, my side of town is Patapsco and Sparrows Point.
Yeah.
Maybe Kenwood. You have any use for them. But I'm
Dundalk. Yeah.
But this whole private school thing, the Mount St. Joe thing, you had your tentacles in there long before your kids went there, right?
Yeah.
I was there the day he calls me. He's like, hey, Nestor, you're still in the media, right? I'm like, yeah. hey, man, we were signing Daryl Morcel. Let's just come over tomorrow. We're going to sign. And I went over. I couldn't even get in. I watched him do his signing from glass outside.
Really?
Because it was so mobbed inside of St. Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
I drove over there, west side of Baltimore.
Yep.
I know my way over there. They let me in.
Yep.
Get my passport stamp when I cross in the west side of Baltimore, you know. But you're an east side guy, though. East what side. Are you doing sending kids over to the west side?
Well, it wasn't me. It was, you know, Coach Clatch. He did a great job of recruiting them, so that's where he wanted to go.
He's not getting paid yet, right?
Not yet. We'll see.
I hope he's like a Steph Curry sugar daddy for you.
Well, he could shoot. He could shoot it now.
That's what I want.
He could shoot it. So we'll see. We just got to keep getting better. You keep getting better. The money will come.
Listen to him.
Yeah.
50 years old. Beano Ransom. All right, we're gonna get your crab cake here before it gets 50 years old. Yep. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Rick Costas. I'm gonna come back, and Beano's gonna interview me, and gonna teach me a few things because. I've waited a long time to have him on. I'm back for more. We're Costas. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Stick with us. Coaching us up. The student becomes the teacher.
My man.